Hi, I'm Koshin Chris Kane, abbot of the Puget Sound Zen Center on Vashon Island, Washington. We're glad to be able to bring you these podcasts. If you'd like to learn more about our Zen Center, please visit our website at pscc.org.
Good morning. I'm going to go ahead and talk. Hopefully you can hear me. And if that starts working, we'll use it as well. So the theme for this month is patience and diligence. And I wanted to talk a little bit about diligence, which is one of the paramitas. It's often translated as effort. And when we say effort, we begin to think about right effort, one of the Eightfold Path, because the word is the same in both. But they actually mean different things, and they're slightly different practices. So I wanted to talk a little bit about that and the role of intention in both these practices. This topic comes to me because Charlie and I are in the middle of a huge project, which is sorting through 40 years worth of things in our house and preparing the house for sale. And I'm sure others of you have done similar things. It's a lot of work. Requires a lot of effort. And it can be quite overwhelming at times to think, can we get through all of this? Maybe we should just stop and stay put. But if we go back to the intention behind the decision to move, it makes it much easier to go back to the work. The idea for us is to make our lives easier, not just for ourselves, but for our children as we age. To be in a smaller place with less stuff, fewer things to take care of, I think it will be easier for all of us all around. And so if we keep coming back to that as our intention, as the reason for doing this, it makes the effort involved much more manageable. So effort, as I said, there's two ways to talk about effort from a Buddhist point of view, two places that we see this word effort, but they're handled in slightly different ways. So right effort, which was the sixth of the Eightfold Path, is translated from the Pali Samavayana. Samavayana, so here vayana means effort. And it has a very specific meaning. I think sometimes I've seen people say, oh, right effort means not too hard or not too lazy, that middle way we often hear it referred to, but that is actually not what the Buddha's original intention was with right effort. It was a very specific meaning. It had four aspects to it, four ways in which we should apply effort. The first was if we have any wholesome tendencies, wholesome habit patterns that we have developed, we should continue to nurture those and make those stronger. On the other hand, if there are wholesome tendencies where we have seeds of those tendencies in us, but we have not develop them in any way, we haven't made them manifest themselves in our lives, we should really put some effort into making that happen. So those are two of the four aspects of effort. And then when we look at unwholesome tendencies, our bad habits, any that we have started to develop, whenever we see them arise, cut them off as soon as we see them, so that they are not encouraged to get stronger. And if we have seeds of unwholesome habits that we have not yet sprouted, don't feed them. Don't do anything to let them sprout. So those are four ways in which to apply effort. Wholesome and unwholesome is a little tricky in terms of the words. I like the words skillful and unskillful better. And I think of skillful and unskillful in terms of the result that they produce. So if an action, a habit pattern that we have produces benefit rather than harm, that's a skillful action. It's unskillful if it tends to cause harm in its wake. So that's how we're looking at the effort that we put into our action. And it actually requires some reflection on our part as we go through the day to discern what it is we're actually doing, to pay attention to what we are actually doing and how we are doing it, and also understanding other ways in which we might characterize our activities and thoughts, other ways in which we might justify them. So some reflection or contemplation on our activities over the course of a day can really help us to sort this out. When we hear it, we might think, oh, that's pretty straightforward, but it's not so straightforward when we look at how we behave during the day. It requires a pretty strong motivation to take on that task and requires us to become clear about our intention behind our actions as we go along, so that we're able to discern when we're being selfish, for example, or self-centered about an action. In the Tibetan tradition, there's actually a formal series of reflections that are done throughout the day, at the very least starting in the morning, renewing intention, and then in the evening reviewing our activities for the day to say, how well did I do in terms of carrying out that intention. But they actually have several more times during the day when you pause and reflect on that. The thing that it reminds me the most of is the five times of prayer in Islam. There's something useful about making ourselves stop during the day to reflect on this. So that's right effort. From the Eightfold Path. The paramita of effort or diligence is virya, is the word that's used in Sanskrit. It's not the same as the vayana in Pali. It has a different root, and it's the same root as the word virile, so that gives you a sense of vigor. Kind of the energy that might be behind the effort of virya. And when we practice these qualities as paramitas, the way in which we develop the paramita is they begin to mature as our intention behind doing that paramita matures from a more self-centered type of intention to come closer to our aspiration to be of benefit to all beings. So we really, again, with this, want to be looking at our intention. What is the intention that's reflected in how I'm carrying out this activity? In Chinese, the word that's used for this is qing qin, which means refined, one-pointed advance, or advancement in a single-pointed way, single-minded way, very, very focused. The word that's used in Japanese is shojin, which if you do tea, you recognize shojin as the vegetarian diet, shojin ryori. It's based on the eating seeds and fruits and nuts that the hermits, the Taoist hermits, ate. That very simple type of meal. And so the idea being that your life is simplified and focused so that you can simply carry out these activities of practice. That's the energy behind this form of effort in Virya. So you might have two questions that really come up around this paramita. One is, how do you develop that kind of one-pointed energy? We don't have it to begin with. Actually, maybe children have some of that when they take on a task like learning to walk or learning to crawl or learning to turn over. They can be pretty focused on that, but I think we lose it as we grow out of that early childhood. So you have to build it, just like anything. Start where you are and keep going, and don't judge yourself for not being very good at it, not being very focused, being more distracted. Just keep going. It's very helpful because when we're starting from a place of not being very skilled at it, it really helps to reveal that intention behind it. Do we want to do this because we want to look like good Zen students? Or are we doing this because we genuinely want to develop this quality as part of our path and practice? Another question that comes up with Virya is, it's very one-pointed, and that may be great if you're a hermit living in a hut in the mountains of China. But most of us have a lot more distractions around us, and how do we deal with those distractions, the things that pull us away from the task at hand? And the best way to do that is to keep coming back to the motivation, the aspiration you have, the intention you have for doing what you're doing. I know when Charlie and I are sorting, it's very easy to get sidetracked by a book or something and go off and play with it for a while. it can really drag things out when we do that. But if we come back to the intention, the idea is to sort through this stack of stuff. If we come back to the intention, it makes it easier not to get sidetracked and misdirected. So that's the most useful way to deal with distractions. And traditionally, this Virya has three elements. The first one is character formation. Our effort goes into character formation. And that's really what right effort was about, is developing a sense of what are beneficial activities and what are harmful activities, and sorting that out in terms of how we behave. The second aspect of Virya is called religious training, which we might say meditation, keeping up a meditation practice. And in addition to that, there's I really like to encourage study. It doesn't mean academic study necessarily, but to do beyond the meditation, to read other practitioners, to read things like Dogen's, Zenji's instructions to the cook. Those sorts of things are very inspiring and very helpful, and give us some background that can help us understand our practice better. So meditation and study, to keep up a good practice there. And the third element of this is called altruism, which is kind of an odd name for it. But it's essentially what it is recognizing that whatever we do, even if it's one-pointed and it's about our practice and we're taking responsibility for it, we're always practicing in relationship with other people, with other parts of the world, with this planet. We're always practicing in relationship. And so this is the part that encourages us to practice with a generosity of spirit, to be aware of how we might be affecting others around us, to complete tasks. This is sort of the Boy Scout approach, is if we do something, clean up after ourselves so that whoever comes after us is in a place that they can simply get to work without having to straighten things up first. It really is how I see the whole issue of climate change right now, is we have not cleaned up after ourselves in terms of establishing the civilization that we have. And that's where we really need to be kind of closing the loop a bit more. For me, it's hardest to keep intention alive when doing really simple activities like cleaning, samu or niten soji. We take on a task, work on it silently and mindfully. And I like doing that, but it's very hard for me to find the intention in that. And that's one where we really need to be watching carefully. When we do niten soji, I know, for example, Koshin likes when we get our tasks, immediately go without any gap, just go and start the task. Don't kind of play around and figure out and get the best utensils and all, but just go get the utensils, get started, whatever they may be, and not have any judgments around that. But I find that that's really hard for me to do, to find my intention in that kind of activity. If I pay attention to myself, I see, for example, that my intention is to be to get the thing done well. I like to get it done and get it done well. And that's important. And it is important to me because it's how it reflects back on me. I have a very difficult time doing a job poorly. And sometimes we're called upon to do a job poorly. And the reason I bring this up is my teacher, Genki Roshi, knew this about me immediately. And so when he would assign work tasks, he would pick things out for me that were hard to do well, like edging the lawn of the one zendo that we had. I thought, well, that'll be easy to do on the right tool. You know, you can get in there and get it really nice and sharp looking. And he gave me a kitchen knife, like a table knife, to edge the lawn. And it was two sides of the property because it was a corner location. And we had an hour and a half for this work assignment. And he gave me this knife, and I said, I can't use this knife. You know, meaning I can't do this job well with this knife. I won't be able to finish with this knife. And he said, oh, you using. That was it. You using. Well, it was really a good lesson for me in just doing what I was told to do and not getting hung up on how I looked doing it. It did look ridiculous. You know, and I was out there on the sidewalk for everybody to see, picking away at this, edging the lawn. So really paying attention to our intention at times like that So one of the best lessons I had, and I can find myself with those kind of tasks falling back into, oh, I can do this and it's going to look good and I'm going to be fastest at it. And I can get really on the whole ego trip about it. So being able to let go of that is really critical. Paying attention first to notice that that's what's going on in your mind, and being able to let go of it. There's some really good quotes in Dogen's instructions for the Tenzo that reflect this. When preparing the vegetables and the soup ingredients to be cooked, do not discuss the quantity or quality of these materials which have been obtained from the monastery officers. Just prepare them with sincerity. Most of all, you should avoid getting upset or complaining about the quantity of the food materials. You should practice in such a way that things come and abide in your mind, and your mind returns and abides in things all through the day and night. Where there is no discrimination, how can there be distaste? Thus, do not be careless even when you work with poor materials, or sustain your efforts even when you have excellent materials. Never change your attitude according to the materials. If you do, it is like varying your truth when speaking with different people. Then you are not a practitioner of the way. It's a very important understanding of having the same intention and the same quality of one-pointed effort, regardless of what you have to work with. So there's no judgment being made about what kind of work is more or less important. So I'm important because I'm doing this task, and that person isn't as important because they're doing that task. And the other piece of this is there's no handing the task off to someone, and this is a really key part of effort, is our job is our job. The instructions, for example, that were given at Niten Soji is to work for a period of time, and oftentimes we get through a job before the time is up. And Koshin always says, find something else to do. And that's what is called taking ownership, taking the initiative. This job is my job, this area is my responsibility. Find something else that will make it better. Effort includes taking this time to really fully own the work that we're doing and understand the judgments and the ways in which we view that situation that may not be as helpful to us in getting them done.
This podcast has been brought to you by the Puget Sound Zen Center. Thanks so much for listening. To learn more about our community, you can visit our website at pszc.org.